Well, good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to Ignite Depot. My name is Apostle Milton Jones. I want to thank you for taking time out to join us here at Kingdom Encounter Live, where our goal each time is to represent God and help people to understand who God is and what His desire is for their life. I know that this message tonight will be a word in due season, a word that would ultimately change your life forever. So I'm going to ask you to go ahead from the very start, from the very beginning. Hey, you want to start doing this each week, even after the broadcast, in between each day, you want to begin to put an expectation out that God is going to meet you right where you're at. You're going to add your faith with our faith, that every time the message comes on, that it's going to be a right now word that you may be able to apply to your everyday life that will change not only your world, but impact the world around you. So we're going to go ahead and make that decision right now. So we're going to say, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I make a decision to add my faith with their faith concerning the word that will be spoken tonight. I'm expecting burdens to be removed. I'm expecting yokes to be destroyed. I'm expecting revelation knowledge to flow freely, uninterrupted and unhindered by any satanic or demonic force. I have ears to hear. My eyes are open to see. And my heart is open and ready to receive the engrafted word of God that will ultimately change my life forever. The entrance of your word, Father God, brings life and gives understanding to the simple. I believe, I receive insight, instruction, guidance, revelation, and wisdom from the word of God tonight. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say amen. So again, my name is Apostle Milton Jones. I want to thank you for joining us here tonight at Kingdom Encounter Live. We're going to go ahead and make our confession in accordance to Isaiah 61 and 1. We're declaring this and we're believing that every time we declare it, it manifests in our everyday life. So it says it this way. It says that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall build the waste cities, and they shall restore the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. Father in heaven, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise, and we magnify your name. Father, we declare that this is the day which you've made. We will rejoice, and we will be exceedingly glad. Father, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Father, I declare in the name of Jesus, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I declare in the name of Jesus that our preaching and teaching will not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and power, that the faith of the people lie not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of the Most High God. Father, I declare right now in the name of Jesus, burdens will be removed, yokes will be destroyed as a result of the word that will go forth on this evening. Father, I covenant with you for miracles, signs, wonders, manifestations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit as you see fit. Father God, I decrease that you may increase. Let them hear your voice. Let my tongue be the pen of a ready writer, writing the very oracles of your word on the tablets of their hearts. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, may you be glorified in all that's said and done. And we give you praise, honor, and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen and glory to God. Well, again, my name is Apostle Milton Jones. Thank you so very much for joining us this evening. And we're going to go ahead and jump right into the word. Now, over the last few weeks, I would say over the last 12 weeks, actually, we've been talking about Babylon is falling and how, you know, Jesus had declared in Matthew 24 that, you know, that one of the signs or indicators that there's a series of things that will be happening before his return, you know, and before he came, the rapture of the church, before there would be, you know, the millennial reign here on earth, and before ultimately he would come and he would actually call everyone from this place up into the heavens and all the things that would go on in between. And we've been talking about it over the last few weeks, and we've been talking about how, you know, you need to be ready. You know, when you look at the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, it talks about you have to live ready. In fact, we actually talked about that a few weeks ago. You have to live ready. You can't be getting ready. You have to live ready, because it actually says this in 1 John chapter 3. It talks about how those who have this earnest expectation of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, they purify their own lives. How do they purify their lives? Because they live in a way as if Jesus could come at any second. And ladies and gentlemen, Jesus could come at any second. But when he was talking about here in Matthew 25, as you were not Matthew 24, he was talking about some of the signs or indicators. And one of the main indicators that he gave of his return was that deception would run rampant. And we spent time talking about that over a few weeks, how deception would run rampant and how delusion would bring about confusion. And, you know, and how delusion is meant to try to confuse you with a whole so many different options and everything, and using distractions and all other kind of things to be able to have your attention split in so many different ways you can't see the truth. And while you're so divided on this position and that position and this position, you're like a house divided against itself. And the word of God says a house or a kingdom that's divided against itself cannot stand. So what the adversary is doing is throwing so many options at you all at the same time that you don't know what's true. You don't know what's not true. And what people come up with is it's this slogan. There is no absolute truth, and you have your truth and I have my truth. But ladies and gentlemen, let me help you understand something. There is only one truth, and that truth is found in the word of God. In fact, Jesus said it himself in John chapter 17, verse 17. It says, Father, sanctify them or set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. And the great thing about the truth that's found in the word of God is that truth, the more you continue in it, the more you begin to apply it to your life, it will make you free. Why? Because it's going to totally renew your mind, which is going to change the way you feel, which is going to make a change how you make decisions, which is going to change what direction you're going to go in, because your mind has been renewed and transformed so that you can be conformed to God's ways of doing things. And that, ladies and gentlemen, sums it up in a nutshell. Jesus came to give us life. It says in John 10:10, how the thief, the adversary, came to kill, to steal, and destroy. He says, Jesus says, but I came that you might have life. Not only that you might have life, but that you might have life in abundance to the full, until it overflows. He says, I'm so committed to the fact that I want you to have life that I'm going to lay down my life just to make sure you get the God kind of life that was which was predestined for you from the foundation of the world. But you notice that word might in there, that you might have life. Why is that word might in there? Because it's a decision on your part. In other words, he says, I've already made it available to you. You have to make a decision whether you will receive it or not. Deuteronomy 30 talks about it this way. He says, you know, I record this day. Let heaven record this day against you. He said, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Hey, in case you don't know which answer God wants you to choose, he says, choose life. Why should you choose life? That you and your family may live. Live what kind of life? The God kind of life. What is living in the life of God means? That you love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might, with all of your strength, and that you love your neighbor even as Christ loves you. Now, when you love like that, man, that takes on a whole different meaning. When you begin to love like that, what are you going to do? You're going to lay aside all bitterness. You're going to lay aside all wrath. You're going to lay aside all anger. You're going to lay aside all clamor. You're going to lay aside all malice. And then as it says in Ephesians chapter 4, 31 and 32, talks about how you're going to be tenderhearted and forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says it this way. It says that you are to be imitators. Imitate your heavenly Father. How are you going to imitate your heavenly Father? By walking in love. Now, we're not talking about love. We're not talking about the world definition of love, where, you know, I love you if you love me. Now, the God kind of love means I love you unconditionally. Now, that love unconditionally does not mean I will put up with anything and everything you give me. But what it does say, it says, I love you so much that I'm not going to hold your sins against you. I've already sent my son Jesus, because, you know, when you imitate the Father, you would love just like Jesus loved, who loved you and I so much. He was willing to lay his life down for us. And he's asking us to do the exact same thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe it is in verse 15, talks about how if one died for all, then all died. That all those who, and he, when he died, he rose again, so that those who were partakers of the fact that he laid down his life for them should no longer live unto themselves, but live unto the one who laid his life down for you. Jesus says, I gave my life for you, to give you life, so that you can live the God kind of life. And he says, and the only thing you got to do in order to receive, do that, partake of that, is you have to make a decision to receive that life. It's not an automatic. It doesn't fall on you like ripe cherries off a tree. You have to make a decision and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, we talked about last week how there you have an adversary. He's an antagonist. And as an antagonist, what's his whole MO? What's his whole mode of operation? He's one who contends with you. He contends with you in combat. He's always fighting against you. When you say up, he'll tell you down. If you say right, he'll say go left. If you say black, he'll say white. Whatever you say, he is the polar opposite to whatever it is that you're trying to do. And notice, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I came to give you life. Not just life, but the God kind of life that you can live in and live just like they did in the Garden of Eden. They had authority. They had dominion. And he says, and this is what God said after he created man, in accordance to Genesis 1:28, he says, be fruitful. He says, always be producing, multiply, always be increasing. He says, and replenish, always be filling and refilling the earth. And he says, and subdue, have authority over it. Take authority, use the authority that God has given you to do what? Operate in the dominion to which God has already given unto you. But see, your adversary is banking on this one thing. You don't know who you are in Christ Jesus, because the thing he's coming to steal is your identity. Because if he knows, if you don't know who you are, you will spend your whole life trying to find out something that if you just open up the 66 books, aka known as the Bible, the B-I-L-E, and get in there to find out who you are in Christ, then you will find out that you're not the tail, that God has already made you the head and not the tail. He's made you to be above only and never again beneath. He's made you to be the lender and never again the borrower. You'll find out that by Jesus' stripes, you're already healed, not trying to get healed. You'll find out that if you seek first God's kingdom and his way of doing things, all these things you spend all your life trying to pursue have already been added unto you. You will find out when you read 2 Corinthians chapter 5:21, how that you are already made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And one of the most important things you'll find out is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5:17, is that the moment you accepted Jesus as your Lord, you became a new creation. Old things, all those old ways of doing and all those old ways of living and that old way of thinking, that old nature has passed away, and all things was made new. But if you don't realize who you are in Christ Jesus, you'll walk around here busted, disgusted, feel like you can't be trusted, and you'll live a defeated life, even though Jesus has already made a life of victory available to you. But you have to make a decision to receive it. It's not automatically. You have to make a decision to receive it. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Your adversary is already defeated. He knows it, but he's banking on the fact you don't know he's already defeated. Glory be to God. Now, we was talking about last week about how, you know, you have a part in this. You know, you were chosen for such a time as this. I mean, you're alive for one of the greatest move of God that's ever happened on planet Earth, ever in the history of the earth. And God says, I have all, not only have I created you and made you, had you come in the earth for such a time as this, but I'm going to expose to you the tricks of the adversaries, the schemes, the methods, the strategies that the adversary is using against you to get you busted, disgusted, get you all bound up, get you confused, make you think you don't have a dog in the fight. But I'm here to tell you right now, the greater one lives on the inside of you. It says in First John chapter 4, that greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. Hebrews chapter 13, it talks about how if God be for you, who on earth, who in the world, who anywhere else can be against you? If God be for you, who can be against you? Say that to yourself. If God be for me, who can be against me? I'll answer that question for you. If you don't know the answer to that, absolutely no one can be against you. It says it in Isaiah chapter 54, and I believe it's verse 17. It says, no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. Didn't say the weapon wouldn't be formed, but he says, even when he tries to form it against you, it shall not prosper. Why? Because you made a decision to receive the God kind of life. You made a decision to receive the life that Jesus made available to you. You made a decision to find out who you are in Christ Jesus. And he already said he's already caused you to triumph in Christ Jesus. He's already made you to triumph in Christ Jesus. But you have to make a decision to believe it and to receive it. Talk like it, walk like it, act like it, even in the midst of test, trials, and tribulations. Can I get one amen out there in the name of Jesus? Now, let's talk about, last week we was talking about how you have an adversary. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you have an adversary. And he's known as the little case G-O-D of this world. In fact, it says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It says it this way. It says, if the good news, the gospel we preach is hidden behind the veil, it is hidden only from the people who are perishing. So it says if the word of God is being hid, it's only hid from those who are already perishing. And this is what the adversary tries to do. And this is happening to your friends, your family members, your loved ones, people in your community. What Satan is doing is, since he is the little case God of this world, he's not greater than God. He's not equal to God. He's a little case God of this world. How did he become a little case God of this world? Because when Adam and Eve bowed their knee and rebelled against God, they gave over their authority. Remember, one of their things they were supposed to do is operate in authority and have dominion over the earth. But when they bowed their knee and disobeyed God, they gave their authority over to the adversary. But ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you a secret? Can I tell you something? When Jesus came back, what was one of the things he came back to take back? The authority. So how do you know that? Because he said it in Luke, I believe it's chapter 10, verse 19, says it this way, how that he's given us power. Oh, he's given power to do, our authority to do what? To trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, and I mean nothing, shall by any means harm you. It might try to come up against you, but it cannot harm you. Why? Because you're going to use the authority given to you by Lord, delegated authority given to you by Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does it say here? It says Satan, who is the God of this world, or this world system, not the entire world, just this world's system, the Babylonian system, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. So if somebody don't believe and they made a decision that they're going to harden their heart not to believe and not to receive what it is that the word of God says, the adversary is using tricks and schemes and strategies to be able to blind that person from finding out what the truth is. And as a result of it, they're not able to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. In other words, he's saying, hey, even though the word is being preached to them, even though the word is being shared with them, even though they're reading it, even though they're hearing it, because the adversary is blinding their minds, their mind, will, and emotions, they can't see or perceive the glorious light of Jesus Christ. So what happens? What do we have to do as believers who understand what it means to accept Jesus as Lord, who understand that the power, authority that they have in the Lord Jesus Christ, who understand the fact that they have authority and dominion in the earth? What's our responsibility? We're supposed to pray. How do you pray? Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I break the power. I break the power of the adversary on all those, and whoever your family member is, Joe, Bob, Lily, Quita, Boo Boo, whoever the person is, I bind that satanic and demonic force that's trying to blind them from seeing the reality of the truth of God's word. I cancel your assignment against them right now and command you to stop in your maneuvers against them. You will cease right now in the name of Jesus. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Amen. What happens then? That satanic and demonic force has to stop and obey. Remember, Jesus says, I've given you the authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. What does that mean? Well, in accordance to James chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, if you submit to God, you submit to God, and you resist Satan, you resist him, you resist his satanic and demonic force, you resist his activities. It says he must flee. It didn't say he had a choice in the matter. He must flee. What's a way to resist him? Just simply, I resist you. Satan, I resist you. I resist your sickness and disease. I resist your poverty. I resist your confusion. I resist it in the name of Jesus. And because you are using because you are a follower of Jesus and you're using the authority that's been given to you by the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have submitted yourself to the teaching's instruction of our Heavenly Father, guess what has to happen? The adversary has to flee. He's not fleeing necessarily because of you. He's fleeing because he knows that you understand the authority that you have that's been given to you by Lord Jesus Christ. But if you don't use your authority, the adversary will rob you blind, and you'll think God's the one letting him do it, and you're the one who's allowing him to pick your pockets dry. That's another reason why, remember, it says that Satan is the lowercase god of this world. That's why it says this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. I'm reading out a New Living Translation. It says, do not love this world. I do not love this world's way of doing things or responding to things, nor the things it offers you. What are the things that this world system, the Babylonian system, offers you? It offers you the love of this, because he says this, for when you love the world, when you love this world system, you do not have the love of the Father in you. Why? For this world system only offers three things this world system offers you. It loves you a craving for physical pleasure. It offers you a craving for everything we see, and it offers you pride in your achievements and possession. He says, so the reason why God is telling you through the man of God, inspired by Holy Spirit, he's telling you don't love this world. Don't be so caught. See, some people are so caught up in the things of this world that they never get around to fulfilling the things that God called them here to do in the first place. They never get around to fulfilling the purposes, plans, and pursuits that God had for them from the foundation of the world. So he's telling you from the very beginning, do not love this world, neither the things of this world. He says, for if you love the things of this world, you don't have the love of God on the inside of you. Why? Because the love of God and the love of this world are polar opposites one to another. The love of this world says, you know, you crave everything that's physically is a physical pleasure to you. You crave everything that you see, and you have a pride or achievements. You have pride in your achievements and your possessions. He says, these are not from the Father, but are from the world. And he says, and this world is fading away. Remember, that's what we've been talking about. The Babylonian system is fading away. along with everything that people crave. So all, no matter how well you think, how good you think it is, it's all fading away. He says, but anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. What's that called? The God kind of life. Now, does that mean you can't have anything? Nope. God is not against you having things. He's just against things having you. So you got to understand, you have an adversary. He is an antagonist, and he's contending with you. He's combating you on every side. And see, the thing about it is he uses old bait and switch trick where he shows you one thing, and while you so focused on the one thing, he comes and he switches it to something else. Isn't that what happened to Eve in the garden? He was telling her how that, you know, what God said wasn't true, because he, God's holding out on you. All he knows, the moment that you partake of this fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to be just like him, knowing good and evil. He don't want you to have that. And what did Eve do? She gave into those three things. She looked at the thing because it was something that was good to see. She thought it would be good for food. It was pleasure, physical pleasure. And then it caused her to achieve or possess something that she believed she didn't already have. It was the pride of life. And when she considered the adversary's lie more than God's truth, then she partook of the things of this world. And as a result, it not only caused her, but she turned and gave it to her husband, who partook of the fruit also. And it caused both of them to take the authority that they had and give it over to the adversary. But God was not outdone, because he prophesied from the garden. He says, Satan, you will bruise his heel, but he is going to crush your head. He's going to take back all the little bit of authority that you think you have for. And even though it was a while before Jesus showed up, because everything with God is perfect timing. When he showed up, he came with all power in his hand. And the first thing, he took back the keys to death, because the adversary had the keys of death. And Jesus came and took back the keys of death. He trampled upon this adversary openly. He took authority back from him and everything. He preached the gospel to those who had passed before he had came to the earth, and gave them an opportunity to receive him as Lord. And guess what? When he rose up out of the grave, when he rose up, sickness and disease, poverty and lack, and spiritual death no longer had power over you. And he says, for all those who would make a decision to receive that which I've made available to them, they too would have life. Have what kind of life? The God kind of life. They too would be delivered from sickness and disease. They too would be delivered from poverty and lack. And they too would be delivered from spiritual death. Remember, the wages of sin is death, separation from God. But the gift of God that he made available to you and me was through his son, Jesus Christ. He says, but the gift of God is eternal life. And guess what? You ain't got to work for it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says it this way. He says, by grace, through faith, are we saved. He says, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How do you do? All you have to do is receive it. And the moment you do, what is one of the things? He's going to tell you to do as one who is a new creation in Christ Jesus? One of the things he's going to tell you to do to be able to stand against the adversary is this. And this is what we're going to get into the next time. We're going to put on all of God's armor so that we may be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. But the only way you're going to be able to do that is you have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. You have been made the righteousness of God. You're in right standing with God. You're in right position with God. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God, and you have the peace of God, and you are in peace because of who you are in Christ Jesus. But if you've never accepted Jesus before as your personal Lord and Savior, if you've never made him the head of your life, or you have, but you realize, man, I ain't been living the life I'm supposed to be living. I want to give you an opportunity to make that decision, to get that thing right now. in the name of Jesus. It's one of the easiest things you could do. How do you go about doing it, you ask? Man, it's so simple. And according to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, it says it this way. It says, the word of God is nigh thee. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. It's the word of faith that we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Make this, say this out of your mouth. Believe it in your heart. Say this out of your mouth. Say it with me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in a grave, but now he's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me now. I repent of sin and I receive your offer of forgiveness. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for paying my sin debt for me. I believe right now I'm redeemed from the curse of the law and I am born again. Fill me with your Holy Spirit right now. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, or if you prayed that prayer and you rededicated your life, man, I want to welcome you back into the kingdom of God, welcome you back in the right position, welcome you back into right relationship with God. Man, what do you do now? You got to get into Word-Based Church to do what? To teach you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we'll also teach you about the kingdom of God. We'll teach you about the love of God. Man, we know that Ignite Depot is such a place, but if you're too far away from us, because we're here every Saturday at 6 p.m., every Saturday at 6 p.m., if you're too far away from us, man, jump online and, man, you'll be able to catch the service live. Or if you're looking for a church in your local area and you're having troubles, man, send us an email at info@ignitedepot.com. That's info@ignitedepot.com. And we'd be more than willing to help you. If you want to be a blessing to the ministry, man, take the time out. Go on our website at ignitedepot.com. That's ignitedepot.com. Go on the give button, man, and you'll be able to find, not only will you find past messages and everything, but you will also be able to find a place where you can give and sow your seed, and we'll stand in agreement with you for whatever it is you believe in God for. Also, if you have any prayer requests, man, just go ahead and submit that prayer request. We go before God every Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. Monday through Friday. We go before the God, and we'll be happy to take your prayer request with us and get an answer on your behalf. Now, in regard and along with Pastor Jewin and the entire Ignite Nation, I want to thank you for joining us here tonight, and we'll see you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.